Hello and welcome to Team Wyatt. I'm Alex Linder. I'm in Northeast Missouri, and with me today, as always, is Jan in South Africa. Today we're going to wrap up the U.S. scene a little bit, talk about what's been going on here, a couple of mass shootings, and then we're going to turn to Jan for a discussion of South Africa. How you doing, Jan?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And you, Alex?
Pretty good, pretty good.
That's good to hear. And by the way, this week I quickly wrote some letters to some of our people in jail. I wrote a letter to Alfred Schaefer and I wrote a letter to Matt Hale, and I didn't put much in it. I just want to see if the letters can actually get there and back. So anyway.
All right, let me. I'll wrap up. I've been looking lately at Jewish junk media, the mainstream news, news.google.com. We had two shootings. One was in Dayton. One was in El Paso. I'm told, and I have not personally verified this, that the one in El Paso was actually like a half Jew, half Mexican. Anyway, he was up somewhere around Dallas. He went down to El Paso and shot a bunch of Mexicans in a Walmart. I'm assuming. I don't know if they were all Mexican or not. And this, of course, if he had non-white origins, this was seized. It doesn't matter to the media and the facts. The media have stopped acknowledging any fact that doesn't fit their agenda. They used to kind of throw them in a little bit begrudgingly, sprinkle them here and there in the context of a larger narrative, but they have basically just quit following the law in their behavior and following the facts in their journalism. They used to insert it per one of my media laws in the second to last paragraph. They would hint at the actual truth, but they are so brazen and they think so powerful that they don't need to follow the law any longer. So the only acknowledged motive in any mass shooting is white supremacy. And if the shooter, as in the case of Dayton, is actually a leftist, actually supports Elizabeth Warren, and actually is a Satanist and a communist and an all-around nut, they simply don't acknowledge that. As I heard when I was in the car listening to NPR, they just said, well, there's no apparent racial motive in that case. So they know that the guy is a leftist. They know that he's retweeted all this stuff. They know he's a socialist who says, I'm not going to wait for people to come around. They know he has a history of nutty stuff, but because he's not a racialist, he has no political motive. So they focus on that case where they can't tie it to a white supremacist. They simply talk about gun control. So no matter what happens, they win. No matter what happens, they turn it into something useful for their cause. And anything they can remotely relate, they will call white supremacy. They've stopped using alt-right. They are using white nationalist, and they're even shifting from that to white supremacist. I was just checking the comparative numbers of hits you get on, again, newsgoogle.com, Google News. And it certainly seems to be there's huge amounts of white nationalist and white supremacist, but there's comparatively little alt-right. So the alt-right seems to be going away, and they just, over time, they come up with a worse and worse and worse dysphemism for anyone who doesn't believe that whites should be discriminated against en route to physical genetic genocide. Anyone who thinks whites ought to exist and flourish is an evil hater. And they're calling him a white supremacist, whatever he believes is white supremacy. So it's just gotten beyond ridiculous. The left simply isn't. The leftist media doesn't care about the facts to a greater extent than ever at any point in my life of 53 years. And on the street, it's more violent than ever, the left. And the courts are doing more and more to attack anyone who has our point of view and to defend those who are hate us and trying to destroy us. So we are in objectively a worse situation than we've been in at any point in my life. On the positive side, I guess you could say there are more people who are aware of the Jews. There are more goyim knowing what's going on with the Jews than ever before. But there's very, very quickly trying to deplatform everybody. So things are getting worse and worse in most quantifiable ways in the U.S., you could say. But just that's what sticks out to me. If you were given a situation report from the United States, the incredible, the dishonesty, the lying from the media, the narrative, the absolute refusal to countenance any kind of factual reporting is across the board in the controlled media, or the Jewish junk media, as I like to call it, the mass media, the media that everyone can't evade, no matter where they are, because it's on in airports and barbershops and everywhere you get TV, you get this garbage lying. And it's worse than ever before. And at the same time, they're trying to knock everybody who can correct them or even laugh at them offline. So that's pretty much the scene in the U.S. If you have any questions about it, I'll be happy to answer them.
Alex, that shooting in El Paso, that was the guy. Is that the same guy who put out his manifesto?
Well, a manifesto was published on 8chan, but the owner of 8chan, whose name is Jim Watkins, said that the fellow who was alleged to have done the shooting, Patrick Crucius, did not post it, or was not the one that posted it on 8chan. And then after the man, somebody posted it on 8chan, but apparently the owner says it was not the guy who was supposedly did the shooting. So was there someone else? Who knows? But 8chan was deplatformed. There was more than one company involved and knocked off, and I don't know if they're back, but then basically there's two companies that do Bitmitigate and Cloudflare, the main two companies that protect against DDoS attacks, which is a common tactic the left uses to deplatform anyone reporting facts they don't like. They used to use that against BNN in the old days all the time. But particularly whenever we did some kind of rally or something where we would get mainstream media coverage that might lead people to our sites, they would attack us so that people couldn't find our site. So this is a long time-honored practice of the left. And anyway, these two companies fight it. Well, the main one is Cloudflare, and it's famous for its CEO, I think his name is Matthew Prince, waking up one day and deciding to kick Daily Stormer off of his service. But at the same time as he did that, he said, I don't think I should be the one having the power, because I'm basically a provider of a neutral service. It's scary that I have the power to do that, but he still did it. Well, now some other company that was supporting 8chan, and there was some connection to Bitmitigate there, the alternative DDoS protector. Anyway, 8chan wound up being deplatformed. And I don't know if it's back now or not, or it's on ZeroNet or something. But anyway, 8chan is, you know, I don't deal with the chans, but just a place people anonymously discuss everything. And it's popular with white males and Pepe memes and what have you. And so we can't discuss the problems we have. So increasing numbers are resorting to violence, and this further ratchets up the effect of them trying to ban us. They won't allow us to. They smear us, they attack us, they discriminate against us, they bring in third worlders to murder us. And then when we complain about it, it's all a matter of belief or perception, or not a matter of objective reality. They're basically saying it's all in our heads. They're gaslighting us continually, and we get angry and print the truth in our sites. Then they try to knock us off the web. So increasingly, we don't have any other option except violence. And this is what we're starting to see more and more and more. So anyway, yeah, that's the situation with 8chan. I maybe they're back somewhere. I don't normally visit there, though. But as we've heard, as I said on earlier, Team Whites, that lately they've moved from kicking us off the internet to closing our personal bank accounts, you know, to denying us any kind of funding to outing different people. They outed some right-wing guy who actually worked for the State Department in some capacity. That happened like yesterday. Coach Finstock. I even remember seeing that name somewhere. I don't know. Maybe it was Twitter or Gab or somewhere. But yeah, so anyone with a professional background, as I've said, anyone who has status or money or professional degrees or any kind of social status or money, they want to hound them away from our cause so that we only have people who have no money, no assets, and are comparatively powerless and seen as losers in their community, or not the big name men in their community. That's what they want to do.
Yes. Yes.
And they've been doing this for 20, as long as I've been dealing with the public, they've been doing this. This is their tactic. It does work. So increasingly violence is the only way left open to us.
Yeah. So then they say, these people are just the retards of society that don't know anything. They're just a bunch of dumb fools. Ignore them.
Yeah. And they make it impossible for us to post our views online. And then when we resort to violence, they say, see what we told you, these people are violent. Their words and their beliefs, their belief is identical to violence. Their beliefs and their act and their behavior are the same thing. They've always tried to put across that scam, but they won't let anyone disagree with them. They're so angry that Trump won because they don't even care what he did. But in their mind, he is all these bad things. They don't pay attention to his actual behavior, which is 100% pro-Israel and about 95% anti-white. They don't even care that he actually supports leftism. They just hate him for what they think he symbolizes, even though people on our side have, you know, long given up on Trump because he hasn't done anything for us. He hasn't done one thing he said he would do, just pure pro-Jew. So that's where we are.
Sorry, Alex, I had my voice on mute. Alex, that guy who did the shooting, do you think that he was actually white or mixed?
It doesn't matter what I think, it's a matter of fact. What I said was that someone claimed he is like a Jewish mother or a Mexican father or something. I don't know. He could be white, he could be non-white. It's a matter of fact, though. I have not looked it up. Do I care? A little, but not a whole heck of a lot, or I would have looked it up. It's being treated as though it were a white supremacist attack because he spoke words against the invasion. But then again, even there, if he was not the one who uploaded the manifesto, then who knows? But, you know, he went down to the border from up by Dallas and shot a bunch of people in the Walmart. That's apparently the facts. Well, a lot of people don't even believe that. A lot of people now, the media has lied about everything for so long that a lot of people don't believe anything it says. Even the fact that there was a shooting, they don't believe. And this is what we've seen. Also, yes. Another growing trend since Sandy Hook, where Alex Jones asserted it was all crisis actors and not a real shooting. And ever since then, that idea that it's, you know, not doubting specifics, but doubting the entire event's existence has just snowballed. Yes. And these are, again, bang on effects of it being impossible to articulate or defend the rational interests of the majority of the population in any mainstream publication.
Yeah, that is interesting because I think that, as we've discussed, we've said that these things are real. And I will tell you from my trip to the USA and Canada and speaking to people who are, let's say, awakened, there's no doubt in my mind that these things are real. You know, when I see the way that people think and the way that people, not that I met people who are going to go and shoot anybody, but I could definitely see in day-to-day conversations that these people are genuine about race, they're genuine about how they feel, and they are serious people. And if that tiny little group of people that I saw is serious, there are clearly large numbers of people out there that are serious. So I have no doubt that all of these events are real.
Well, I think there's no doubt that people are getting on the Chans or other forums and talking about real things. They may use anonymous names, but these are real people. They have real reason to believe the way they do. And to doubt that these shootings are actually taking place is absurd. They are taking place. Now, the media is spinning them as they do, but there's no reason to doubt that. There's no reason to think these shootings are actually made up out of whole cloth. The shootings did happen. Now, the rest of it is a political battle over the meaning, but there's no reason to doubt the shootings happened. It's like landing on the moon. There's no reason to doubt that we landed on the moon, but increasing numbers of people do doubt that.
Yes, you get that too now. Oh, boy. Yeah, so the chaos factor is a whole other discussion. That's true. Yeah, so And this guy killed 20 people.
Yeah, I think I saw 22, but don't quote me on that. That was at least a day ago. They were saying he shot like 40 and killed like 22. The same weekend, by contrast, the usual weekend in Chicago, at least 55 people were shot. I don't know how
By
many died.
blacks.
Maybe seven. They never talk about that. So the vast majority of what are called mass shootings of four or more are done by coloreds. But see, the Jews carve out anything done by whites into a special category so they can pretend that the real terrorist threat in America is white men.
Yes.
And this is a theme they've been pushing increasingly hard the last couple of years, and especially 6 months. See, I'm looking at a website right now, NPR. I hear their garbage on the radio all the time. So we just heard many experts say 8chan has become this big, powerful, dangerous site, and we want to dig a little deeper and hear a little more about how it's become a real go-to for white terrorist extremists. See, they never get tired of using as many horrible, horrible adjectives as they can to defame us.
That's propaganda.
Yeah,
Propaganda in
it's
action.
propaganda, and it's completely false. National public radio, well, it's national, but actually it's just Jewish private radio is a more accurate. They funnel the money through the colleges to make it appear that it's a public thing, but basically it's subsidized Jewish anti-white radio garbage that is available from coast to coast. So you're forced to subsidize these anti-white Jews, and 90% of them on national public radio are Jews. Forced to subsidize them lying about you and attacking you literally nonstop around the clock. Because the only thing that they outsource, they syndicate, is BBC World Report, which is a bunch of Jews in England lying. Just exactly the same as NPR. And I'm sure you get that garbage down in South Africa. You probably get some BBC. Well, BBC is completely a Jewish publication called British. NPR is completely Jewish and BBC are completely Jewish. Everybody knows that. Or if they don't, they're uneducated. So, anyway, they're out there defaming white nationalists almost daily because I do a spot check. If I'm in the car for 10 minutes a day and, like, at least a half to a third of the time I'm hearing stuff against white nationalists, what does that tell you? That tells you that they're running, that's a spot check. They're running that stuff all the time.
Alex, very interesting, very interesting. And I was looking at something else now. So the other thing I saw is Texas gun laws. But now I saw a website saying that Texas
Oh, yeah.
is not going to. They said that Texas is actually going to loosen
Oh,
their gun
okay.
laws. I actually saw that.
I'm glad you brought that up. Well, this is funny. Just one final note on NPR. So the one day I heard them talking about all this, and actually the guy who shot the Mexicans in El Paso said he wasn't even anti-Mexican. He was just like more or less a right winger. He didn't want Hispanics coming in and swamping the state and making it irretrievably democratic, which is what is going on because they refused to shut down the border. And right after they finished talking about him, they talked about two Republican congressmen who are not going to run next time because their districts are basically turning purple, as they said. That means that they're blue from the brown invasion, if you understand the red blue thing. So they're basically laughing at him, saying, "Dan, yeah, you can shoot all those people, but you can't fight history. Texas is going to turn blue like Florida and California, and it's going to be lost forever. And brown people are the future, and whites are the past." So that's what NPR is saying. But the bigger thing here is what is so-called, maybe you've heard of this, red flag laws. They're using these two together to really push for what the Jewish propaganda term gun control, which is white private goy control. Take guns away from law-abiding white citizens so they can't protect themselves against Jewish politicians and the black criminals they always protect and stick in your community. That's what red flag laws mean. Essentially, a lot of whites don't understand. We already have this type of law in part, or an example of it, in restraining orders. So if you have a fight with your girlfriend and she runs to a judge and says, "He verbally abused me and beat me and blah, blah, blah." And the, oh, did the bad man say something to you? And it could be real or it could be fake. But either way, if the judge believes what the woman says, he's got a list of 8 or 9 boxes he can check off, particularly if you have kids or whatever. One of them is threat to the woman. Well, if he checks off that you're a threat for whatever reason, it could just be verbal or whatever, then the cops have the right. Then you are committing a crime if you don't turn over your guns to the cops. Now, maybe the cops don't ask about your guns at that point and you don't say anything. But you're in violation of the law at that point, all because this broad ran to a judge and got a restraining order. So now that's a restraining order, but essentially that spirit and that level of non-investigation, i.e. just claims that don't have to be proved, would be reflected in red flag laws that could be enacted a lot of places. And Trump appears to support it, and the Congress appears to support it. They've railroaded the Republicans into supporting it, that they always call common sense. But I call commie sense, because commies want to take guns away from whites so they can massacre them, so that your neighbors or teachers or policemen or anybody can simply claim, well, that Jan, I don't know, he has some wacky ideas. I think he might be dangerous. You probably need to go there and take his guns away. And that's exactly what red flag laws are. Some outside party with some axe to grind, or for whatever reason, can just claim that you're a threat, and boom, they come and investigate and grab your guns. That's what red flag is, and that's what they are. Never let a crisis go to waste. As the Jewish activist said, this is a definition of that. They got two shootings, one of whom is from their own people. The guy in Dayton was a leftist socialist. And they're going to use that to restrict the ability of the white man to defend himself with these so-called red flag laws. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot that in the original comment. But that is the big thing here in the U.S. right now. As a result of these, the political outcome of these shootings is an attempt by the left to further erode the Second Amendment.
Well, I think I'll send you, let me find that link. There was the link. Let me send you this link from the Washington Post. Then you can take a look at this, at this link. I just want to get it to you. And this is the one about the Texas gun laws. And it actually says they're not about restrictions on firearms. And it says, so I don't know if this is just nonsense, but it says Texas is not alone in relaxing gun laws after the deadly attacks. Am I misinterpreting this?
Have they done something, or are they just saying they might do it?
That's what I'm not sure of.
I ran out of free stories, so they won't let me read it.
Oh, goodness. You ran out of free stories.
Yeah, the Washington Post only lets you read like 4 a month, and I used to read it on a different subject than they... Read me the important thing. Have they done it, or were they going to do it, or are they going to do it?
Because it's not a long story, so let me read it. Texas reeling after El Paso shooting is about to loosen gun laws. Texas is getting new gun laws, but they're not restrictions on firearms like those Ohio's governor proposed days after Sunday's mass shooting in Dayton. As the state mourns the 22 killed in a shooting in El Paso, 10 laws affirming Texans' right to keep and carry guns are set to take effect on September 1st. The new rules come as Democrats and some Republicans call for tighter regulations on firearms after two tragedies that shook the country this weekend. They reflect many Texans' embrace of expanded access to guns even after several high-profile shootings in the state, as gun rights advocates argue that armed citizens can stop attackers. Do you want me to read more?
No, I mean, that's good. Texas it has traditionally been more supportive of that kind of stuff, probably more than just about any state, so that's good if it happens. But nationwide, it's been... all this talk about red flag laws. Yeah, see, it's propaganda terms, gun control versus gun rights. So it's not it's, the left, again, as always, they reverse agency. So the gun is responsible for the violence. But when you want to use a gun to protect yourself, that's not human right to protect yourself. That's gun rights. You see?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Human rights is the colored man's right to live out of white pockets.
Oh, that's so well said.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's not an attempt to be clever. It's actually what it technically actually means. And then gun rights is, blame the gun instead of the black for the shooting. Prevent the white from defending himself. That's what they always want. And our side always goes along and uses their terminology. But yeah, Texas would be one of the better states for gun stuff, but they probably had those laws planned before any of these shootings happened, is my guess.
It sounds like that, yes.
But see, what they're trying to do is get it so that every single they're trying. He already okay after the Vegas shooting, Paddock and all that, supposedly, and who knows what the truth was of that. It never really came out, at least to satisfy anybody. They Trump banned bump stocks, so they constantly want to make magazines smaller. They want to outlaw basically semi-automatic rifles. And just say, oh, you can have a handgun or you can have like a deer rifle, but they don't want you owning any kind of military rifle. The point is always to strengthen the government, strengthen the central state and the people that support it, and render whites incapable of defending themselves with word or weapons. So they go after both the speech by deplatforming people, and they go after the physical defense by pushing what they call gun control, which is GOI control. And
Alex.
once you understand this will be the case until they finally get guns banned, until they've literally lined whites up and just shoot them. They will keep pushing the same cause in the same direction until they destroy our race. That's what we're fighting. So once you understand how to interpret this stuff, it literally never changes. I mean, sometimes they may come up with a slightly better propaganda term, but it's always pushing the same direction. Just
That's
like
true.
they don't like alt-right is not strong enough, call them white nationalists. Well, white nationalist is not rough enough, call them white supremacist. I mean, if they come up with a more defamatory term, they'll use it, but it's always going the same direction. Once you understand the Jew and the Jewish agenda without knowing anything else, you can predict what the Jew is going to do. You can predict with 100% certainty how the Jew is going to respond in any given situation. You know exactly how he will spin anything that happens. He will always blame whites. He will always consider them responsible for any other race's failure. And he will always portray Jews as poor, persecuted victims who are owed money and respect from other people. So this is the point of Team White, is to teach you a racial way of thinking that is actually running the world.
Because there was one thing that I, what way would this red flag law have helped you to solve this particular problem? Where would you have heard, how would it have helped? Because I can't see that even if they had it, how would they have known that that guy
It
was going to be the
wouldn't, but
problem?
again, but with the way you're thinking is conservative thinking. You're thinking that it has, that there's some reason involved, and you're pointing out how it's irrational. They know that. They know it wouldn't have made any difference. They know that loads of these people who shoot got the guns legally. Their cause isn't about rationality. Their cause is about preventing whites from defending themselves. So they don't care that it wouldn't have had any effect on this crime. Never deal with these people as though they're rational and honest. They're not. That's the way the conservatives do it. I mean, this matter has been studied to death. John Lott studied. The more guns there are, the more available they are, the less of this crime there is. If you want to take the rational view of this, the more people who have guns, the better. John Lott proved
Yes.
that many years ago. So the other side is not arguing honestly and should never be treated like it's arguing honestly. If they were arguing honestly, they are very well aware of what you just said. They just don't care because it's not their agenda.
Yeah, it's just pure propaganda. It's just propaganda.
Well, I mean, the kid who shot up, first of all, if they really cared, they would observe that a lot of these people who do this are on these drugs. They're out of single-parent homes, i.e. they're products of circumstances these same gun controllers or GOI controllers created. So if they weren't out there destroying the family, half this stuff wouldn't happen because the nation wouldn't be messed up. This stuff is, speaking generally rather than specifically, all these angry people out there shooting people are a result of social circumstances argued for and created by the left. So they are ultimately, in the most general, non-specific sense, they are responsible for producing the conditions that are causing the desire to shoot people. And if you want to get into specifics, like the kid in Sandy Hook, he was legally prevented from getting a gun. What did he do? Well, he took his mother's. And the left well knows that people can get around these laws and find guns. And therefore, what they want to do is just make guns completely unavailable to anybody, anywhere, except their enforcement arm. So once you understand that, it's easily applied to any situation.
Yeah, very interesting, Alex. Yeah, so we'll have to see how it goes. But it is interesting that there are more and more shootings, hey? And definitely. I'm quite astounded by how many there are. But I think that there's also the other aspect of the people that the vast mass of people that you don't know about, the whites. They've got to be lots of, there have to be whites who are seeing things and they're not saying a word and they're just watching this clown show play itself out. Because some of the people that I met in the US and Canada, in their daily lives, they're normal people. They go out, they work even with the non-whites and so forth. But when they're back at home, they're talking something else. And when you sit down with them and you chat to them, you can see they're fine. They are thinking straight. And I ask myself, how many policemen, how many other people, even in the military, how many people are watching this stuff and they're not saying anything, but they're leaving that clown show to carry on. And, you know, what conclusions are they drawing? I don't think we're alone. That's my point.
Yeah, well, I mean, people can see what's they're suppressing the majority until they hope it is destroyed and disappears and its genes are divided up among the needy colored races. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to run an end game on the majority. And there's still enough spirit left that some of the people are willing to fight back physically.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've killed any leadership or organization in the bud. So the result is, you know, you're getting a lot of, you could say, lone wolves in their actions, but at the same time, everybody worldwide, there's still enough open internet that they could get on 8chan or somewhere else and see what other people are thinking and what makes sense. And they're noticing what others do. And so a guy in Texas sees what a guy in New Zealand did and decides to do the same thing as himself. And this enrages the left, but there's not really all that much they can do about it. Ultimately, they can, as Daily Stormer said, they can close down the open web, but people can just go on tour and get Daily Stormer and eventually anything else they get rid of. And there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do about it. There's actually is what's coming. I've been studying this a lot in the last month since last we recorded it, studying cryptocurrency and all that. And you think that cryptocurrency is not really just about currency. Money is just one of the big things. Money and media are the twin powers, the twin pillars supporting Jewish power based on the foundation of racial loyalty is the first thing. And they try to destroy racial loyalty among whites and take control of the money away in their country so they can print it and enrich themselves and have power over us. And they try to control the media so we don't even know what the truth is. So all these three things are working for them and against us. Crypto promises to make not just money peer-to-peer and private and anonymous and immediate and global. So you can go anywhere in the world and do anonymous money exchanges without needing a bank, without needing any government involved. But guess what? That's just one layer. On top of that, you can run data and the rest of the stuff amounting to an entire internet. So the entire internet, I guess the way you think of it is an internet that is purely peer or all spokes and no hubs,
yeah,
so that there's nothing they can control.
That is well said, Alex. You have got good thinking there,
because that's what they're saying. Now, whether they can do that, they haven't done it quite yet. They're still working out the crypto, but this is a place where clearly the best minds in our race are right now and are trying to figure it out.
Alex, the way the internet was designed originally, the internet was designed so that things can move through the internet, and if any path is blocked, it finds another path. That is how email and everything like that works. So the internet's actual design is built for that. The original logic was for nuclear war, that even a nuclear war could not break the internet. And yeah, you're quite right. People can just start hooking up in all kinds of different ways.
Yes,
and the and more and the more methods and tools there are, we can go pretty wild. Yeah.
You might understand it better than I do, but because you have more of a background in that. But from DARPA and whatever, the packet exchange, but now they're talking even more decentralized, just, I guess, completely peer-to-peer somehow, where you own, and I know that Berners-Lee, who's the guy who actually did, see, DARPA, US DOD, an agency within them, created the bones of the internet. But Tim Berners-Lee created the World Wide Web that basically allows it to be, you know, useful by normal people. And then you had the explosion of the commercial stuff. Well, now, from what I understand, Tim Berners-Lee and other people are working on the idea that the problem we have is Facebook is collecting all the information from people and selling it to other people. And you have the basis of a complete spy state. So they want to get away to where you control all your own personal data and just interact with others peer to peer for whatever you need. I don't fully understand all that technically. But clearly, the money application will be one of the first things. And then on the back of that, you can develop a higher level network that allows data contracts, not just smart contracts, to where you can post all this stuff, I guess, in a blockchain format where it can't be changed. And they can't somehow deplatform it and knock it down the way they are now. Like all the social media, like I got banned off Twitter, I got banned off Gab. And now Gab got banned off its platforms, even though it banned other people. We're now all on the Fediverse, which are kind of federated islands of automation. Now, this is not what I'm talking about. It's still at the level of a degree of hub, but it's more decentralized because all these different, they call them instances, using Pleroma or Mastodon software that is free open source, are all linked in that they can follow each other, whatever, yet they have separate independent pages. It's going to decentralize even beyond that, to where it's all peer-to-peer and there's nowhere for the Jew to get in between. There's no hubs the Jew can control and kick people off of, because there's no platforms, because it's all peer-to-peer. I believe I've got that right. You chip in if you can articulate it with more granularity, what is ultimately possible for communicating ideas and money among white men.
Alex, you've pretty much got it on. You've hit the nail on the head. And where the Jews have actually made a mistake is that they have just used their traditional mechanisms in going to Facebook and YouTube and Google, and they've now gone from a top down, and they thought they can just knock people off there and then control it. And they don't realize that there are people, you know, Alex, there's a lot of software that's been written even years ago where people have already been making all kinds of free software available. It's just lying there. As you know, when we were looking around for social media stuff, I even saw entire software that looks like Facebook. You know, people have created lots and lots of things. You could run your own thing. But I know that the heart of what you're getting at is that you're getting at the whole issue of bottlenecks. And you're quite right that when something connects to the internet, it has got multiple pathways that it can go. And as time goes by, there are more and more pathways that you can go through. Plus, you've also got different devices. And all these devices, you know, even your smartphone is a powerful computer. And, you know, with time, there's almost unlimited things that you can do. And you not only have more hardware, you've got different operating systems, they've got different ways of going through. And there's something I want to mention to you. You know, the hosting companies that have been banning people, hosting companies have also been now like a little bit in on the action where they're starting to shut people down. But there are other developments. I don't really want to say too much about this for the non-technicals. I'd rather just leave this quiet. But there have been other developments. There's been like an entire industry that's been created that already starts getting rid of lots of the functionality that used to be done by hosting companies. Alex, I'm convinced that on the internet, we can wage a never-ending war for hundreds of years, and these Jews will not be able to catch us. The white guys are just too fast. The whites are way ahead of the game. And the beauty about it is that money alone can't control this thing. This is a big beast. And there's no particular, the Jews are looking for like the bottleneck that they can go to, the gate that they can close. And there is no such thing. There is no such thing. This thing has become so massive. And you know, I mean, just as we ourselves know, you could even connect your own server from your home onto the internet and do things. There's 1,001 possibilities now. There's just so much technology. And you're quite right. They are actually lagging behind the white guys. Absolutely. And if we can move money to the next level, then that is enormous. That's enormous. Because money is the big, you know, I mean, as things stand, look at us. We are small operations operating like one-man bands from our homes, and we've been able to take on the mass media and hurt the mass media. And the only thing where we truly are stuck on is money. And if we can move money around and start creating like our own economy, Alex, once you've got that, you've got everything. Because from there, you can do absolutely anything the hell you want. And you know, even this other thing of robotics, where they are talking about bringing in, they're talking about how all the jobs, you know, like 40% of all jobs are going to be lost because of robots in the next 20 years and so forth. Alex, that stuff can be fought as well. At the end of the day, if we are sitting in our homes and we are able to communicate with each other, to transfer money, to do business, to form groups, to work together, what the hell are we going to worry about them for? They might actually be the ones that are out on their asses. I think that the age of personal freedom, the internet and all this digital stuff has brought about the age of personal freedom, and there's plenty that we can do, plenty, including the exchange of knowledge. You know, you if you can function within a whites-only economy, then you can even start dumping other things that you used to need, because maybe you don't even need to go to university and learn liberalism and communism. Maybe you can just function with your fellows, and if they give you the skills or they teach you or whatever. You know, when I look at this, I think the billionaires and the Jews don't know what they're up against.
Well, it's interesting. They might have tried the money part first. I don't know. They're doing a good job knocking people off of the open internet and denying people money. And the crypto has not been, figured out by a long shot. But the Fed continues to print money, and Bitcoin is going back up around 12,000 now. There are other coins out there. What I'm talking about does not exist yet, but will exist within maybe 5 to 10 years. But, you know, if you have money that you can have anonymously and securely, and it doesn't go down in value the way fiat money does because it's just printed, then you have something. Then you can opt out of that system. But the open web is certainly getting close to being shut down.
Well, Alex, that is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that, you know, the only real option that you have at the end of the day is your own system. I mean, you know, the Germans did that with Hitler. I mean, he went and sorted out his own economic problems himself, despite a worldwide ban against German goods. And even here in Southern Africa, you know, we were also dealing with our own sanctions and things. And Alex, mostly when you create your own economy and you run it yourself and you de-link from them, I must tell you, sanctions and their attempts to stop you financially are not actually that effective. That is something I can speak about quite a lot because of where I grew up and also what I saw in South Africa. You will see that economically we were doing very well. We could function without the international system. And I will tell you that in South Africa, for example, in South Africa, I'm trying to tell my friends and other whites here, I'm trying to say to them, you need to disconnect from the system. Start getting away from the system and stop using your brain power to help these people. I would predict that if the whites of South Africa could work together and the whites could actually start doing more economic stuff among themselves. You remember we spoke about people working from home. You were talking about the cottage industries and so forth. Alex, if we go into that mode of thinking, not only in South Africa, but globally, and we can start finding ways of doing business and dealing with each other and so forth, I'm telling you, this is the way to go. Well, you need to build the internet that belongs to you, and you need to be able to build it and defend it. And once you've done that, they will not be able to touch you. They will not be able to stop you. This is a war about, we can't control the rich, but mind you, we can hurt the rich. And even YouTube and these companies, they must have taken beatings because they themselves have had to change some of their rules. There are things that they've changed as well. Even PayPal, I saw. So I don't think that the rich are, first of all, I don't think the rich are winning without taking some big losses on their side. And secondly, I think we can break free and our small things can take off.
Well,
everything is there for it.
We're small potatoes. The people I'm talking about are much smarter and have more money behind them. But what I would say to people who are listening to this, PayPal charges, I don't know, 2-3% in certain circumstances. They don't want crypto. I read they banned someone who was buying crypto with PayPal. Banks have banned people buying crypto with PayPal. They are very threatened by crypto. Now, it's not here for use. Right now, it's mostly people speculating, and then some odd people are maybe moving huge sums of money out of a country like China where it might be threatened by someone else. But ultimately, what I'm trying to say is, I think we're talking past each other slightly, but the technology is not completely here, but this is going to threaten central money, and how central money, which is Jews, are going to respond will be interesting to see. They're going to try to set up fake coins. They're going to try to set up, you know, the same old fiat system in a different format. They're going to try to regulate stuff and ban it. But clearly, there does seem to be some tactical hope that peer-to-peer probably is the best way of summing it up, where they can't really control it. And that will be the basis for exchanging information and money. And if you can exchange value that can't be inflated and destroyed, the way they're, you know, they're, Trump keeps calling for lower interest rates, which is the opposite of what's needed, because he wants the stock market to keep booming and he wants asset prices to keep being inflated. But these don't help the average person. They just help the top 1%. And they're making housing completely unaffordable in large sectors of the country. What needs to happen is, really what needs to happen is the Fed is gotten rid of. But eventually the crypto are going to have some kind of huge effect there, but they have not completely worked out the technology. Short of that, the Jews have pretty much shut down information on the open web, except in, you know, in the US, yeah, smaller scale sites aren't harassed, but whites have no representation. I don't know. I think there's brighter future in crypto stuff than about anywhere else technically. But I
hear your point about the Fed and all that, but you're almost talking about a dual economy. You're talking about there's an economy for the Jews, and then there's another economy, maybe an underground economy. And that's what I'm talking about, is that underground economy based on peer-to-peer and all that thing could become the real economy.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you're – they can cut off your funding sources, but if you're into this crypto, some of these cryptos have limited numbers. So they can't inflate it. So they can't destroy the value by printing more of them. Now, this is new and it's not. So eventually, this is something that might replace the dollar and the rest of this.
Yes.
And as you see internationally, you know, Russia and China are buying gold and pulling out the back end. Gold generally is going to. I did read somewhere that they increase the amount of gold about 1.5% a year. They mine that much. But basically, it's a stable supply. So the price of gold has been going up lately. The price of Bitcoin has been going up lately. And the dollar, they cut rates, which is, you know, just more inflation, because they don't have another option because they're so far in debt. And if they don't have people who are willing to buy their bonds, as the Chinese are increasingly are not because of Trump's actions and for other reasons, because they have so much, that why would they want more of this worthless paper? They're going to have to print more money to buy their own stupid bonds and do their little tricks to keep the price of gold low. It's all starting to fall apart, as libertarians and others have been saying for 20 years. How long can they keep this scam going? Well, I don't know, but ultimately it sure looks to me like the future of the internet and information and money exchange is going to be some kind of crypto that's peer-to-peer and close to uncontrollable by Jews. And so, well, you can turn off the whole internet. Yeah, I guess that's true. But how are you going to do that when the whole world economy is based on that? Maybe here or there, someone will flip the switch. But I mean, you're not overall. If you got your crypto on a hard wallet that's, you know, in cold storage, as they say, what are they going to do about that? Nothing.
Alex, they won't turn off the internet. There's no ways in hell they can.
Well, they can't.
That would be like sending us into the Stone Age. And I saw something where the Pentagon basically said, I'm not sure if they'd be willing to go to war over the internet or something. There's something that the Pentagon said quite a while back. They will go to war over things that affect infrastructure. There's no ways in hell that they're going to switch off the infrastructure. The whole world would be in total chaos. And this infrastructure is allowing so many things, including things that the Pentagon and the CIA and the NSA want. So I just cannot see them switching it off. It's just not possible. The Jews might want it switched off to return to the past, but I can't see anybody else even mildly considering it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like shutting down the interstate highway system in the U.S. What are you going to do? You got to have trucks going everywhere to deliver the stuff. There's no other way around it. I mean, okay, you want people just to go back to picking berries off bushes? I mean, because that's what it would amount to. But as they tighten their control ability to have everything videotaped at all times, to have all thoughts and online movement tracked at all times, there still seem to be rising up new technologies that are going to offer more privacy and security. But I don't know. I've been studying it for at least 100 hours, so we'll see what comes out on top. But I guarantee you, this cryptocurrency is where the most interesting work is being done, even from it seems non-political, but it really is deeply political. Because on the political open stuff, it's just going to keep deplatforming everybody, kicking them off the web, passing more laws against speaking the facts on race, and increasingly devolving into a communist shithole is all that lies in the future of the U.S. unless we come together as a team and do something about it.
And the other thing, Alex, that you're also forgetting that I was trying to explain to some of the people in North America, especially Canada, I had a guy that got very angry with me at one of my talks. And then afterwards, Paul Fromm always gets the guys together for some coffee and we sit and we talk. And I waited for my chance and I spoke to the guy and I answered his questions directly. And he was astounded because among the things that I want to tell you is this. You got to understand that the Jewish system is itself self-destructive in that as they are driving whites out of the system, those whites are themselves moving away and they're being replaced by lower quality people. But they've essentially destroyed the good quality people inside their system. And they actually are weakened into our area, and those good quality people are on our side. So, I mean, you might, for example, have, let's say, some military officer is kicked out of the U.S. Army and replaced with some freaking black, okay? So, sure, you got another general, and he's black, but now you got a white guy, who has the experience and knowledge. And he may be in civilian clothes, but his mind and his knowledge is with us. And that's a boost to us. And Alex, I've been watching this process happen here in Africa, including South Africa. As they destroy us, they're also strengthening us. They are trying to seize control of something, but the thing that they are trying to seize control of is itself weakening due to their own actions, and the alienated people are moving out and they're finding themselves also without a job, but now among the rest of the others. It's the game is far from over. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you were right. South Africa had every ability to defend itself, except what was most important, the will or the moral will to. And I would say that's due to Christianity. And I'm sure a lot of people would disagree, but Christianity weakened them out of wanting to defend themselves. They chose the delusion and the wish and the desire over the reality.
Well, Alex, that's where I want to add to what you're saying is it makes me think of something Napoleon said. Napoleon said, the moral is to the physical as 3 is to 1. And I've always taken Napoleon to mean that it doesn't matter what your physical may have had fantastic weapons back then, but they didn't have the moral will to execute what they needed to do. And nowadays, they might not have the weapons, but I can tell you the desperation is piling up big time, big time. I keep watching the will of the people because I don't worry too much about the physical stuff. As my mother always used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. And that's the key thing for us whites, is that any whites anywhere who at any point in time decide that they want to stand up for themselves, even if they lack the physical things that they need, they can start going to town and trying to figure out a way to do it. Whites have done it before. The Germans themselves are a perfect example of how they did it before World War II. They weren't allowed to have tanks. They weren't allowed to have aircraft. They weren't allowed to have battleships. And look at how the Germans solved all those problems. All those things they were not allowed to do. And yet when push came to shove, they solved every one of those problems. And all whites everywhere can do the same. Even if they take your guns away, there are other things you could still do. You know, there's that you have, you know, deny you all knowledge, because I reckon whites can solve most any problem. But I think to just add finally to what you were saying is that when it comes to the technical stuff and the internet stuff and that stuff, the white guys are way ahead of everybody else. These Jews don't know, they don't know how brilliant our people are. And you can even see it, Alex, with a thing like Linux. Linux is an open source operating system. There it is. Wasn't created by a company, wasn't created by a government, and there it is. And it's a very powerful thing.
There seems to be, like you were saying earlier, there's open source software for just about everything. So you can set up your own website, like that's what we did with Pyville.net, you know, and people can join it and boom. It's just like you're on a gigantic thing because you can interact with all the other islands on the thing. And there's all kinds of stuff like that. But I encourage everyone listening to Team White, start seriously looking into cryptocurrency. I'm going to have some advice for people when I have completed my own research. But I'm not going to advise people until I've actually done certain things. And right now, all I've done is, which is no small thing, is really seriously investigated. And I actually have an idea, but I'm not going to tell it at this particular time. But this very clearly offers some real hope for people, at least in their private lives, and who knows what political use can be made of it. So it's not all just deplatforming. This would be kind of the replatforming through this crypto. And money is power and money is independence. And if you want to fight people who are trying to destroy you, as the Jews are, you need as much money as you can get. It will be one of your most reliable friends. And if you have it, it will not let you down the way many hominids will.
Well, Alex, you were looking into about crypto and your predictions to me about how Bitcoin would behave, which I didn't believe at the time. I was extremely impressed with what you came up with. So I'm very keen to hear what you have to say as you move forward with this, because I think you're onto something.
That was when I told people to buy it at 3,800. That was simply from pattern recognition, from what I know about investing generally. I knew it would go up, or I thought it would. I didn't know, but I was reasonably very sure that it would, based on stuff I've seen in other places. But now I actually know a lot of information about it, the different ones and what they're trying to do. And I have some actual opinions, but I'm not going to talk about it right now, but I will before too long. I'm very, very hesitant to make any, I've only ever said buy gold at one time. And I said, one Washington Redskins bet. And I said one, crypto. So that's what I've done. But I will say something else about crypto when I'm ready. Beautiful. But I encourage you, don't think that all the profits are out of this. This is still a new, very early adopter type thing. And, you know, if we had listened to Max Kaiser, Kaiser Report, and bought Bitcoin at $1, think about it. He is one I really recommend listening to. Him and Jim Casey are two that I read or watch or listen to their videos in terms of their understanding. I don't agree with them on everything, but very smart guy. And he's been right about the central banks and what they're doing. And that is a huge part of the political power. Anyway, and there was a very good article written by a fellow who's on, he's on the social media. You can see him through Pyville.net and others. I don't know if he's on Gab or what. A lot of these people are on Gab, but you can still cross with them on Pyville.net. That's the beauty of the Federated Islands or instances approach. But he wrote a long article for Countercurrents, and he basically recommended Bitcoin and had some pretty solid reasoning behind it, which I don't completely agree with. But you probably can't go wrong buying Bitcoin even now. Even in the past few days, it's gone up 1,000 or 2. Now, it's going to go up and down, but probably it is going to end up being pretty darn valuable. Now, I subsequently have learned some things about it I like less, but I still think it's worth buying, even at the what might seem a fairly high price right now. But that's all I'll say about it. Have you studied it at all or looked at it? I know you've actually done some of it, haven't you?
I studied it, and I will tell you that to me, I wish people would take the time to use Bitcoin, because you won't need PayPal. It works exactly the same. It's faster and it's more anonymous. It's absolutely fantastic. I wish people would just go and take note of crypto. And because Bitcoin is the only one that I've actually used, I can tell people, you know, if you would just use these things, you will find that immediately you're in a whole new world, and it works like a bomb. You know, the answer is sitting there staring you in the face. You know, you don't even have to, you just have to go through the minor things that you need to do in order to get yourself set up to use it. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, and
I was afraid of leaving money in Bitcoin because it moved so much up and down. But nowadays, I don't even worry about that anymore. I'm very impressed with it. It survived a lot of stuff. It survived a... Alex, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You went out there.
Sorry, man. I must actually change my headphones. I've got a problem on my headphone. And
well, I think that people should keep in mind who haven't thought about it. Bitcoin, 21 million is the max. Many of them are lost. So it can't really be inflated the way that standard fiat can be. And this Bitcoin's not the only one. Most of the other altcoins are just copies or forks, as they call it, of Bitcoin, with changes that maybe Bitcoin's people don't want to make. So they're alternative ways of solving problems that some people believe in. And some of them may just be scams to collect money and run off, and no real development goes into them. But that's why you got to actually study the stuff. But clearly, immediate, low-cost, secure, anonymous transfers and payment mechanisms is the way of the future. And it's not just payments, but there can be other data recorded by this that amounts to, I guess I don't fully grasp how it's done technically, but essentially ad hoc creation of the internet. It may look the same to you or me as the user, but technically it's different, so that there's not some hub or platform to where some third party can pressure someone to take it down and deplatform you, if you understand what I'm saying. I guess the way that, you know, Napster worked, or the way that a torrent would work, something like that for money and ideas and everything else. And the idea of locked-in permanent records that are unalterable holds out a real threat to any democratic system, because it means you can't cheat in it the way Jews do, whether it's counterfeiting the money, just printing more of it, printing more fiat, or running various other scams. It can all be documented on the blockchain. So, yeah, people should investigate it very much. And I'll give my own ideas as I get more experience with it beyond purely theoretical.
Well, Alex, science and technology, white man's science, white man's technology is your friend. That's your savior. And I firmly believe in that. So, Alex, I have one other question for you about America before I talk a bit about the South African stuff. Donald Trump had a social media summit. What did you think of it?
Well, I'm not sure who all he had there. The context is that the people at Google and elsewhere are absolutely livid that pro-whites and right-wingers generally used their tools and their platforms to get this evil, hated, bad orange man elected. That's the context here, and they want to make absolutely certain that does not happen again in 2020. That is why they're deplatforming everybody. I mean, an example of how far they will go. They're angry at Mitch McConnell. They had all these blacks outside his house, even threatening to murder him. He posted videos of these blacks making murderous threats, and Twitter blocked his account. He's a sitting senator. So incredible political bias. But in terms of Donald Trump's summit, I don't give a damn about his summit. What I care about is he won't do anything to defend the people who supported him. Everything he does supports Jews and people who hate him and want to destroy him. Is they're not going to sue Comey at the FBI. He's not doing anything other than say, well, we're monitoring it about social media while all of his supporters are shut down. So if he has some of the few people who aren't hostile to him over for a meeting, which did not include anyone from Gab, for example, in the end, who cares? He's not going to do anything. Now, what could he do? I don't know. I mean, a lot of people want regulation. They wanted these declared public platforms that have to be content neutral. I don't practically see, as a practical matter, how that could be carried out myself. I think the future is not in some kind of regulation, when the regulators would be drawn from exactly the type of people who hate Trump and hate what they think he's a proxy for even more. That is normal white people or white nationalists. I don't see how regulation is a solution for that. Rather, the solution in this case actually probably is technical. It's simply getting to something that is peer-to-peer. You understand what that means? No hub. So peer-to-peer money, right? If you and I have a piece of money called the dingo, right? And I say, Jan, I'm sending you 10 dingo. And there's only 100 million dingo that ever exists. And I send it to you, and I do it anonymously. Now, Bitcoin is not actually anonymous. That is an incorrect belief that a lot of people have. It's not anonymous. But there will be anonymous, and there are right now, anonymous, non-inflatable digital currencies, and I send you 10 of them. There's no bank involved.
Yes.
There's no government involved. How do they know about it? There are mixers that will mix. These coins are fungible. Actually, Bitcoin is not actually completely fungible, if people understand what that means, which is one of the there are some negative points. Fungible means one is the same as another. It's like $1 is the same as another. Well, you could say, well, they have serial numbers. Yeah, that's true. Bitcoin are not all the same, because some of them may have been, because you have the blockchain documenting where the provenance, the background of each Bitcoin. And if some of them have been used in drug or whatever transactions, that coin might not be as clean as a different coin. So they're not completely identical. Fungible is the word. Fungibility is a key thing of money. Like $1 is as good as another and effectively the same as another. But so if we have this anonymous secure thing called a dingo or whatever that we exchange, and there's actually real world places to use it and what have you, then the point is there's no bank or government involved. Because what is the banking system now? They want to know. One of the planks of Marxism is knowing where absolutely every single dollar is. They want to track capital flows out of countries. Well, this threatens that because they don't know unless you tell them. Or unless they can come up with some technical way, they can even. But if they pass laws and say, "Well, you have to do this, that, and the other," well, you say, "Well, I mean, I made an money exchange with this guy. Who else knows about it?" You know, what if we're just sending it in between private addresses? Who knows about it? No one knows about it.
Yeah.
See, so this is where it's headed. To break free of centralized control, which means Jewish control, and restore our freedom and restore non-corrupted, non-counterfeited money. And money is almost more the first idea almost, because, you know, you can do so much. It's such a force multiplier in your individual life. So this is very important stuff politically, let alone financially.
I'm with you. So Alex, his social media summit, did he not – the thing that interested me was he using the social media and excluding the normal media? Because even just that could be something that irritated the hell out of them.
I don't know if he excluded anyone or what. I'm not sure it wasn't that big of a thing over here, really. I mean, he had a few minor secondary conservative types, as I recall, but I don't think he didn't have the major, you know, players and really. It just comes down to the majors all hate him. The Zuckerbergs and the people running Google hate him. And he's not doing anything about it. So they have systematically kicked off everybody or almost everybody who supports him in preparation for defeating him in 2020. And, you know, seized domain names. I mean, ultimately, the people who seized Daily Stormer's domain were Google. And he's not doing anything about it. He's sort of vaguely threatened that maybe there should be some regulation or he's monitoring the situation. But in the end, he never does anything that would be good for whites. He only does stuff that helps Jews.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Daily Stormer seems to be functioning fine from what I can see.
Well, they just got knocked offline the other day. They got back on quick, even on
the
normal web or the clear web, but they were forced back onto the tour there for at least half a day or so because of the 8chan stuff had got them and someone else deplatformed, but they got back on. But yeah, at any time these people just go wide and then they get knocked down again. So ultimately there is no security, as he says, you know, ultimately they're just going to be available only on tour, but already they have a large number of readers on tour. Because like he's saying, and like everyone should know, you can download Tor for free, and it's integrated with Brave browser, which is a non-Jew controlled browser that has privacy. So you can just click and open a new private window with Tor once all these solid websites get kicked off of the clear web or the open public web. That is the trend, because the Jews simply can't handle any competition because they'll lose. So they're deplatforming everybody, and they're sick of Trump. They hate Trump. They want him gone. They want to make sure they can use their social media to suppress his vote. And they already did that. It's amazing he won as it was. But even when he wins, we still lose because he doesn't do anything that's good for us.
Yeah,
they act like he did, but he doesn't.
I know what you're saying. I will just repeat what I've said before, and that is that Trump is proof that the only way forward is a revolution. That it's that simple. It shows you can get more or less your guy in as president, and he's still totally
useless.
Yeah,
I mean, the left is simply not following the law any longer. I mean, we had down at the border this pregnant Mexican, this Jew senator from New York, Ron Wyden, walks down and grabs a pregnant Mexican on the Mexican side and just brings her into the U.S. So they're just rubbing your face. Fuck you. We don't have to follow the law. But
unbelievable.
You have to pay for all these third world colors we bring in. You white taxpayer, have to pay for them while we abuse you in the media. So the Jews have such
unreal.
A combination of power over the media and the politicians. And in that case, they even are the politician, that no one else can speak against them. So inevitably, the future is going to involve more violence.
Alex, I'm telling you, they don't allow people.
I told what I'm saying right there. I said to the FBI, I said, your employer is creating the circumstances that lead to these shooters. You know, you can blame me for talking about all this stuff, but they're not doing it because of me. They're doing it because of the country you created quite deliberately. And I point to my own town. No one here voted to bring in all these literal Africans into the middle of Kirksville. This is decided by the federal government against the interests of the locals while you're calling yourself a democracy. So, yeah, there's going to be violent reaction to all this, you know, but I mean, who knows? You get a leftist president and they're all threatening to up and down. They're going to arrest anyone who's a white nationalist. I wouldn't be in the slightest surprised if they rounded up a few hundred white nationalists. Call them white supremacists, evil haters, and they did that in World War II. They rounded up a lot of women and other people who were speaking against our getting involved in World War II and said they were seditious. Threw them in jail for a few years. I could easily see something like that happening.
Well, I think another thing that's also happening in the world, Alex, is I think even the police, even the military people, they've got to be more and more whites inside the system that are looking at what they're doing. And there have got to be people with consciences who are saying, Is this really what we should be doing? I don't know if I mentioned to you that Graham Hart in the UK, that police came and interrogated him for 9 hours. And Graham played it very sort of cleverly. He said to them, "I'm neither assisting you nor resisting you." So he said, "I'm not gonna like walk to the police car. If you want to take me to the police car, you're gonna have to pick me up and take me to the police car." And he basically did his thing, and they hounded him for hours and questioned him for hours, and he basically told them nothing and did nothing. And eventually he said, they were kind of stupefied by it, and those people, those white cops, have to be asking themselves the question afterwards, why are we going to another white man's house and he's not actually committed a crime, and why are we doing stuff? Alfred Schaeffer raised exactly the same issue with the police who would visit him. And I think, Alex, that inside the system there have got to be whites, even if they're not the majority, but they have to be whites, let's say even 10% of them. They have to be whites who are saying, is this really what our job is about? Is this really the service we're supposed to be rendering for our country? And I think that with time, as much as the Jews control the bosses of the system, I'm not so sure that they control the people in the system all the way to the bottom. The people at the bottom, there must be people at the bottom that are saying, what the fuck is this all about?
They'll dox him and drive him out like this Coach Finstock character, working just some guy working at the State Department. I don't know. I mean, they vet them pretty hard in the army. I know that. Because that's where they would be most afraid.
Well, as I even met a guy who was in the US Army and who was a national socialist, and he and I had some good chats. We had
Well.
some good chats, and I also even met a guy who used to be a policeman, who used to be in intelligence. We sat and we talked, and even in Canada, I met a naval officer, and we were just talking. And Alex, I think that as things get crazier, there have to be more whites who very quietly will be saying to themselves, is this what the fuck I should be doing? Even here in South Africa among the Christians, I've noticed that the people who've moved to, like, let's call it the alt-right, because they don't want to be known as the right wing. I've even heard that even a judge has moved into taking part in this. I even met a lawyer the one day. I think higher IQ people and professional people are actually looking at this and saying, this thing is fucking crazy. And let the Jews ramp up the madness, because I think there's going to be quite a bit of it that's going to backfire. That ultimately there is going to be a revolution. There has to be some kind of resistance that's going to kick in, because I think normal people will eventually say, this is just nuts. It's just nuts. It's just too crazy for words. So that's my own belief and my own
Yeah, there'll
observation.
be some of them, but I mean, how well do you know the people you're talking to in the U.S.? I mean,
That's
a cynical question to
agreed,
ask yourself.
agreed, agreed,
Because I've
agreed.
been to this kind of meeting myself, and I've seen a lot of military cop blowhard types, and they didn't seem to strike me as very plausible.
And you abs, I'm with you. But Alex, out of many of the people that I've spoken to, even if I allow for some of them being spies and what have you, I still think there is something there. I definitely do.
Well, there's loads and loads of people who see the problems in America, and they also see what happens to anybody who speaks up about them, including the president. The president can't get anything done. I mean, he did try to some extent to do things, but the only things he's allowed to do are pro-Jew.
Yeah, it's hectic, Alex. I think war, revolution, trouble. I think those are the only ways. I think those are the only ways. It's going to be nasty stuff that lies ahead. But I think it's the only way. I was talking to another guy in the US. I don't know if you know him, Billy Roper. He wrote a couple of books.
I've met him. Yeah.
Have you met him? Mm-hmm. And I was saying to him, well, I'm a guy who believes worse is better. So he said to me, yeah, I'm also an accelerationist. And so I think there are more of a,
well,
I'm
I mean,
glad,
in the
I'm
end,
glad
we
to
don't,
hear that.
We don't really control what's going on. I mean, we control ourselves and a little bit around us, but, you know, the powers that be continue to promote policies that endanger whites, deprive them of rights, deprive them of opportunities. And even more importantly than that, they just simply defame us in every possible sector. And they're inventing new hate terms for whites every day of the year. And at some point, I think we have to turn on them. And I hit some of them sooner and some of them later. But I'm tired of listening. I'm tired of being defamed by this garbage people.
Absolutely, Alex. And that's why these shootings are so good. I mean, it's showing you there are people that are willing to just go and do it. I mean, I think of our man Bowers. Bowers from Gab, who went and blew away some Jews. I mean, and Dylan Roof and all the others. I mean, there have been quite a number of guys, and they've done some pretty hectic stuff for a one-man band. I mean, many of these guys, Alex, don't even have military training. Imagine if you had a couple of guys with military training. Imagine you even had a couple. I think whites are capable of a lot. And I think the fact that the more they just defame us and just spit on us, I think they're moving into dangerous territory there. Eventually, even the most cucked white male is going to get tired of it. Absolutely, I'm absolutely convinced of it.
Okay, well.
Okay, shall we do?
We
a
weren't
going
to talk about U.S. too long, but we've talked about the U.S. quite a bit and crypto and the changing technology and the prospects it holds out for white political independence at the individual and eventually the team level. Now let's turn and talk about South Africa a little bit. What you said you had a bunch to discuss there. What's really been going on in South Africa since we last talked?
Are you seeing the picture that's come up there, Alex, on your browser?
Let's see here. Oh, where is that?
I'm just busy. Yeah, I'm just busy testing these photos because I want to see if I can turn our talk into a bit of a video, and I just want to see what's possible, what's not. Anyway, I decided to dash off to the shooting range quickly, and this is just after I was back from the shooting range. Counting my last few bullets. I didn't shoot that many, but I haven't shot in a long time. So that was just me back from the shooting range. And when I go shopping, I often just go and have a quick look at the newspapers. And I just want to show you some newspapers that we see in South Africa.
Excellent.
So here you can.
So you can post this along with our talk, then, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm going to try and do. So let's see how Oryx – and that's why I was saying to you, if you like this, let me just iron out some of the technical problems, because then what we could do with our shows is we get all our stuff up front. You send me your stuff. I get my stuff. And we go through it, and then we can look at stuff, and we can talk about things. Plus, we can take actual photographs, and I can go and take photos and stuff, and you can actually see some of the shit that we're talking about, you know? So this is a British newspaper that they sell here in South Africa, the Something Express. Not sure if it's a Daily Express. And, Alex, I just looked at this. So here it's lying there. And this is the photo I took in the supermarket quickly. And it says, Harry opens up on racism. And he says, oh, our family was racist. And he doesn't like the fact that Meghan is being attacked. And Alex, I just want to tell you, when I just browsed a few of these sentences here, the question that comes to my mind quite a few times about the British royal family is, I truly think these people are truly stupid. I'm serious. These people are idiots. And it's not like they know the truth and they are quietly hiding it so that they're winning. No, these people are truly stupid. And I was looking at this stuff with the royal family and this thing. The fact that they are intermarrying with blacks and blacks are going to become part of British royalty. Alex, these people truly are idiots. They are morons, actually.
Yeah, he's trendy like his mom. I mean, it's the exact same tendency. Whatever he thinks is cool. Because he also said he's only going to have two kids because of overpopulation. He's just a trendy jackass like Lady Di was.
Well, I must tell you, I have no respect for the royal family. Truly no respect for these people. So anyway, next thing. The order is not quite the right order I wanted. Here you can see the Financial Mail, and they put it in plastic so that you can't read this valuable thing, and
yeah.
then just chuck it back on.
Is that Financial Mail, is that published out of South Africa, or is that also international?
Alex, I think now you ask me.
Is a South African.
I was thinking it was just a South African because, yeah, look here. This also has got a lot of South African headlines, but two points here. The bottom right, you see there, Rupert, why South Africa is on the verge of an IMF bailout.
Yes. Now,
that Rupert, Alex, he's the second richest man in South Africa. In US dollars, he's worth $5 billion, which for us is unbelievable sums of money. The only person richer than him is a black. And this Rupert, he's a total globalist, totally anti-white, a pure piece of dog shit. But I want to tell you about this Rupert. This Rupert has also been fiddling with the politics, trying to use his money and everything. And you know what? It turned around the other day that this Rupert has said that he's thinking of leaving South Africa. His family has been making untold billions here for decades, and now he says that it's getting too hard to survive in South Africa. So I don't think he's overtly Jewish, but you never know if they converted to Judaism. You can see the photo of him there. But Alex, this bastard is talking about leaving South Africa because it's getting too hard and he's taking too much hostile media from the locals. And I'm saying, get out, you piece of shit. All these rich, Alex, the rich are dog shit. And the rich will not save the rest of us. They'll do nothing for us. They're garbage. And I say, out, you bastard. I'll be happy if you leave. And may the rest of the rich follow you. Because the people who are in deep shit are the normal people, the normal whites, not them.
What's his full name, Rupert?
His name is Johann Rupert. I think his father was Anton Rupert, and his father absolutely hated Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. In fact, just before Verwoerd was assassinated, there were news headlines that Anton Rupert is against him and they're gonna crush him and all that sort of thing. These Ruperts are garbage. These are globalist trash.
Okay, what is his money from? Is it from media or something else?
Originally, their money was actually cigarettes, I think, because cigarettes used to be huge here. But I'm sure they've diversified into every other conceivable thing.
Okay.
I know that he's got big he owns golf courses and all kinds of other stuff.
He's not a Jew though, you think?
I don't think he's a Jew, but you never know.
He doesn't look particularly Jew, but yeah, that'd be interesting to know. I would look that up.
But
some point and see.
But you never know if they've secretly converted to Judaism. But they've got to be in with
the
Jews.
No, it's not that. It'd be like Trump. He would be working with him, most likely. In that milieu, it's very heavily Jewish at that level of money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he's got to be totally in with the Jews. And in the middle of this thing, which I laugh at, it's not easy to see, but they're actually saying bracing for a robotic future. You know, the future that the Jews are predicting where 40% or 50% of all the jobs that we're doing today will be gone within 20 years. And I laugh at that because I think we whites are going to survive without that. It's all about we get away from their system. In my view. But anyway, so there you can see a stupid South African Financial Mail, and it's got to have a black on the front cover. So okay, let's move on. I don't have many, but I thought I'd just do this as a test, and then you can start seeing things, because I can take a whole bunch of photos. I go to the supermarket, I photograph all the things that I want, and I don't buy any of it.
Excellent.
I try not to put a bloody cent in the pockets of these pieces of shit. This newspaper that you see here, this is the Citizen. 30 years ago, Alex, this used to be a conservative newspaper. Now it's run, the editors, and what you would call an East Indian, and it's basically all that conservatism gone. It's just like the same trash as the others. And just to give you some ideas, on the front page, they're talking there about Johannesburg's power ripoff. I'll discuss that on the next page. But that other piece here, just to show you, you see there where it says South Africa's green growth shoots appear. Yes. No matter how bad it gets in this country, the liberals and other garbage try to pretend to see the silver lining in every cloud. And they're always saying, oh, you see, it's not really that bad. And they're just talking their shit as usual. And the bottom one that says K-word case hits a hurdle, the magistrate from... See, somebody else used the K word, and nowadays you can go to jail in South Africa for using the K word. There was a woman who was given a 2-year jail sentence for it. So that's the same as the word nigger in your country, but here they can actually shut you down. And unfortunately, I've got phone calls coming through while we're busy talking. But anyway, so let's get on to the next one. We've only got about two more to go. So this is a closer look at it. And let me tell you something, Alex, because this will show you how these scumbags work. And here they say Josie power payers suffer. Josie is what the blacks call Johannesburg, and I never use that name. And what they're basically saying, this will just demonstrate to you one of many ways of shafting the whites. Basically, what happens here is they started allowing people to install prepaid meters for electricity. However, it turns out that the Johannesburg municipality charges people who use prepaid meters half of what they charge people who don't have prepaid meters. So what actually happens is that the whites, who mostly don't have prepaid meters, we pay double for electricity what the blacks get, because most of the prepaid meter users are blacks. So there you see, yet another example of how whites are screwed, you know.
That's excellent. That's very interesting. Yeah, let me interject. Are they trying to pick up? Are they trying rhetorically? Are they trying to pick up on Nazi with the Josie?
No. It's just the way the blacks talk. It's just the way they talk.
just shorthand because it's simple.
Yeah. And this newspaper you see here, this is the Business Day. This would be the same as your Wall Street Times. That is its influence in South Africa. This is the mother of all newspapers to do with economic stuff. And the main thing here is look at the rand. Rand heads to 15 rand to a US dollar as our rand goes diving to ever new lows from the stupidity of the country. And I just try to tell the whites, just calm down. Everything that's breaking is under their control. Don't concern yourself with saving these people. Things have to break. You know, accelerationist thinking. Stop fixing things. Only look at the things that are of use to us, you know. That is all that matters. And, yeah, so let me see. I think that may actually be the last.
Okay, I had one question on the electric stuff.
No, there is more.
Let me ask you on the electric stuff. So why would blacks have prepaid meters and whites not have prepaid meters?
That is something that they brought in. You see, we never had prepaid meters in our houses. So the vast majority of whites are living in houses that were built in the past, and most of those whites have not bothered to go and put in prepaid meters. Interestingly enough, one of my family members has gone to the trouble of putting in a prepaid meter, and maybe that's something I need to look at if it makes such a difference.
I don't think we have prepaid meters in the USA. What they did was they went to automating the readers so that instead of the guy having to get out and walk by and hand see, so to speak, each meter, he could read them electronically from the street, I guess. But I've never heard of prepaid meters in the US. Just an interesting point.
They brought it in for the townships originally.
Well, Jan, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're in the U.S. familiar to seeing all those pictures of blacks stealing electricity. So I was thinking, well, yeah, they know that blacks aren't going to pay their bill, so they're forcing them, if they want electricity, to get prepaid stuff in all the new housing they build.
Yeah, they try that. And yes, you're right. The large numbers of blacks just go and
illegally tapped.
Yeah, they just go and just freaking put it up. And they do that in the townships. They don't do that in the city. Not in the suburbs. In the suburbs it's much more ordered. So in the suburbs you'd either have to have a prepaid meter. I've never seen anyone in a suburb tapping into electricity illegally. That's not possible. There's too much law and order for that. That wouldn't happen. But in the townships, anything goes. You know, in the townships, especially, and parts of the townships have got like proper houses, but other parts of the townships are just freaking shanties. And those blacks do anything the hell they want. They just go crazy. And they just do anything. So, yeah.
Okay.
And I think this might be the last slide. I laughed at this one. This is Eskom. This is our electricity supplier. And Eskom, it says here, Eskom wants government to take over the majority of its debt. And if you see there, it says Eskom says it can only sustain 160 billion of its 440 billion in debt. Well, here's the joke, Alex, is that to convert this into your monies, 160 billion is more than 10 billion US dollars. Might not sound like a lot to you, but for us, these are big numbers. And 440 billion is over 30 billion US dollars. So our electricity supplier for the country, all of us whites are paying our bills every month. But do you know that entire black communities don't pay their electric bills? There are black townships that don't pay. And do you know that when they switch off the power, to the suburbs. I've heard it said that they never do rolling blackouts on some of the black townships. So they'll switch off the power to the whites, but they won't switch off the power to the blacks. And the blacks in those townships aren't paying the bills either. They owe Eskom billions and billions and billions. The people who owe it are blacks. And then, of course, you also get situations where entire cities or towns are getting the money from the people paying, then they themselves don't pay Eskom. And so Eskom still doesn't get the money. Anyway, they've bailed Eskom out before with big due money loans, and it seems they need more loans. And I haven't put the picture on about South African Airways, but South African Airways, our national carrier, also needs a bailout. And I'm not sure if it's about the third time that they've been bankrupt. Eskom's also been bankrupt like more than once. I've lost count of how many times these places go bankrupt. And then the due money just comes. They just pump more due money in. But now the joke is that Eskom is saying that with the income that they're getting, the only debt that they can service, they can only service like 10 billion out of the 30 billion. You know, so even if they get their money, they're still screwed, you know. So this is the beauty about how things just become more chaotic and weird and bizarre. And the system is imploding. And I'm saying to people, that's why you must take care of yourself, look after your stuff. I actually did, when I came back from the US, I put together, my apologies, I've got a friend who's phoning and he doesn't know that I'm busy on this thing.
Yeah, I recommend turning that off when we're taping because that noise will show up. I can hear it.
Yeah, it's terrible. And let me just switch the thing off. I didn't want to switch it off because there were other things that I wanted. Anyway, Alex, so what I wanted to say was I've lost my train of thought now. Maybe you can even remember.
The Eskom stuff.
Yes. You know, the beauty about it, oh, yes, when I came back from the US, what I did was I put together a little lecture. I've only given it once, but somebody else is preparing for me to give it for a second time. I actually put a lecture called How to Get Off the Grid. And I put together a little lecture, How to Get Off the Grid, and I gave it to some people in the eastern part of Johannesburg. And I'm waiting for another event. And what I've done is I've basically shown people what I've done to get off the grid, the weird things I've done. Even as I'm sitting here in my house, I'll take some photos later and when we do other shows.
That's very interesting. Yes.
Then you'll see some of the weird things I've done as I'm busy, like literally hacking things together and trying to figure out how does this work and can I do that and so forth. So when I came back from the US, I made sure that my solar was working properly. I had my battery. I had all my batteries tested. I was actually very happy with my solar this year. And I've even been fiddling with lighting inside my house so that and I had an instance. I had like an instance when I came back where suddenly Eskom was off. And I didn't even realize it was off because I was running on solar. I had my own stuff. I had to have a neighbor send me a message and say, Jan, is your power on? And then I realized, oh, goodness, Eskom's been off for 30 minutes, and I didn't even notice. I've been working away, and everything is fine by me. I've got all my things in place. I can survive. The power cannot go off for hours and hours or even days, and it doesn't hassle me much. I'm a happy boy. And
excellent.
So I can function. And a neighbor of mine across the road, she's got her own business that she runs from home. And she runs her whole business from her house. And when the power goes off, she's also got her battery backups and things. She can run for 2 days. She doesn't have solar, but she can run for 2 days off her batteries.
Well, how much is the power out on an average day?
It's actually not much. The power, we had a couple of power outages before I went to the US, that we had quite a number of bad outages, sometimes for up to 16 hours. But when you're talking outages, we're still far away from total collapse because we could have a power outage once in 2 weeks, you know. So the rest of the time you're functioning day and night, you're fine. This year was quite bad because maybe we had, I'm guessing, let's say eight power outages. But other than that, it's not bad. It's not as bad as Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, Alex, in Zimbabwe, they are able to supply electricity now for only 4 hours, 4 days in a week. 4 days in the week. Three
Wow.
hours, 3 days without power. And let me tell you about Zimbabwe, because the power in Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia, most of it comes from Lake Kariba. That was hydroelectric. It was built by whites in the 1950s. It's still the main source of power, though the black population has shot through the roof. And now, because you've got all these blacks and they haven't done much else, they are actually struggling with power. Their own population explosion is now killing them. And they are actually still running off the infrastructure built by whites about 60 years ago, Alex. So, you know, the white man stuff still works. And the thing that I see, I will predict that for South Africa, in some of these neighboring states, lots of people in these neighboring states have had to move on to solar. And I think that in the years to come, you will find that eventually Eskom is only powering the blacks and black townships, and that more and more whites will move off the grid. And the way technology is going, it's like we've discussed with the internet. The technology is making it easier and easier to run your own electricity. So I think in the decades ahead, you'll find that more and more whites are able to function by themselves. And you know, if you know how to use a generator and you know how to use some solar power, between the two of them, you can get a lot done, you know. And even if they just supply power for part of the week, you can still function a lot. But in South Africa, like I said, it goes through phases. Most of this winter, it wasn't bad. My suburb was actually worse than other white suburbs because we've got a substation here, and the blacks here seem to be utterly incapable of fixing the substation, and it's been like that for years. And they spend more and more money on it, but it still breaks every now and then. And so it's just a couple of us in my neighborhood. We've sorted ourselves out. We're okay. And then whenever the power goes off, you see all these other whites and non-whites, mostly Indians, because there are no blacks that live here. And you see everybody getting so upset about the power. And it's like, yeah, haven't you learned? You need to look after yourself. But those of us who can, we're fine. I mean, my main goal was to make sure that I'm 100% functional all the time, day or night. If the power goes out, I function. I don't change. And I'm pretty much there. I don't have an issue.
Excellent. Excellent.
So yeah,
I
Alex.
like the, I like this feature. I think it's very worthwhile in teaching people about what everyday life is like and showing them these actual magazine covers. Very, very good idea. And I would like to see your individual electric setup. Show it. I think others would too.
I think what we'll have to do, Alex, I need to fiddle with the technology. My experiment today wasn't quite as good as I'd hoped for. I'll sit and fiddle, but I'll make a plan. That we do have some other alternatives too. We'll make a plan, and I'll work out something so that we can do this in our talks. Because then what I can do is I can haul out photographs, personal photographs, private photographs. I'll show you, I will show you South Africa. I'll show you what you actually need to see.
Excellent. That is useful. And I think We can do this all that, that individual and context show how your individual life solutions within the circumstance of living essentially a white man forced to live in Baltimore, which is very roughly akin to what, because that's the big city that's having all the debate, you know, but that's what it's like. You're forced to live in a 90% black majority area that is completely incompetent, and all black areas are going downhill technically and financially, all of them.
Absolutely.
They're not racially capable. It's nothing to do with U.S. or whites or anything else. Blacks are not capable of self-government. So,
at least not by our standards. And that's what I also try to tell people is, understand this. We whites, we've got our standards, and the others can't match it. End of story.
Exactly. And that more than, you know, as much as anything else, why do we want to live around whites? Because of the LCD, the lowest common denominator, is so much higher than
Absolutely.
In a mixed or black context. So why shouldn't you prefer it? Well, I mean, do you not prefer better to worse? Everybody does. Well, that's Absolutely. What white nationalism largely is, preferring better to worse.
Well, Alex, and if for our next show you can send me some screenshots, you just need to send me some images. Send me a bunch of images, and then we take the whole thing, and I'm going to do a bit of thinking. So let's get together in 2 weeks' time. I'll do some thinking. I'll see how I can solve some of my problems. For me to make this functional today is a little bit tricky, but I'll do some work on it. I just need to get a slicker setup, but I'm glad you like it, because with this setup, Alex, I can show you tons and tons and tons of things. I can show you historical stuff, and you are welcome to send me your stuff. And
all right,
we chuck it in, and then we got something you like.
I like it. It's not about me and you. It's about the person listening to us and what will benefit them.
Absolutely.
This is what it's like to actually live in South Africa. This is what you have to do. Here's the problem that living among blacks forces on you. Here's how I solved it in my individual life. Maybe this pertains to your individual life.
And Alex, this is the future. I believe that the only future is whites. And it's going to come from whites at the bottom. The people at the top are useless. The dog shit useless. And at some point, we'll have to have revolution, not just in one country, I think everywhere myself. I think that's the only way that this is going to go. But just to show you.
Excellent. But the crypto and the stuff you're talking about is more or less evergreen. The crypto is longer term.
Yeah. Alex, the only hope. Oh, yes. What I wanted to say to you, it's not just about the blacks. The beauty, Alex, the beauty, what makes me really happy is when I see the rich, the super rich, the Jews, the liberals, and I see how the whole thing is imploding right here in South Africa. It's falling down right in front of their faces, and they don't know how to fix it. It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy, Alex. The white man still has his chance, more than is enough of his chance. So thank you very much for chatting today.
All right. Well, thank you, Jan, and thank you all for listening to Team White. We'll be back with you again real soon.